The Springfield Museum is located in the heart of downtown Springfield, Massachusetts. It's comprised of five world-class museums, the Michelle and Donald D'Amour. Is it D'Amour?
Yes, Michelle and Donald D'Amour Museum of
Museum of Fine Arts, the George Walter Vincent Smith Art Museum, the Springfield Science Museum, and the Lyman and Mary Wood Museum of Springfield History. The museum's association also is home to the Dr. Seuss National Memorial Sculpture Garden, which is very cool. Heather Haskell is director of the Springfield Art Museums and Collection. She joins us this morning to discuss highlights from two of those wonderful museums, the George Walter Vincent Smith Art Museum and the D'Amour Museum of Fine Arts. Heather, it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Very nice. So, wow, one museum isn't enough for you, is it?
That's true. Well, we're very fortunate. We have this wonderful consortium of museums. It's over 100 years old. We were just accredited in 2013, which meant we went through a vigorous self-study and peer review. And this was an accreditation by the American Alliance of Museums. And the two art museums very much complement each other. So the George Walter Vincent Smith Art Museum is a single collector who lived in Springfield, spent his life collecting, and retired at the age of 35 in order to create a collection which he gave to the city.
So in other words, what we all want to do in our life.
That's right. Exactly. And he was very much, he really wanted to give his objects for people to appreciate. And it was something that we have continued 100 years later. The collection is very rich. And I've been at the museums now for over 20 years. And there's still wonderful opportunities to share the collection with our audience.
When it comes to these art museums, just talk a little bit for people who may not be familiar with it.
Sure.
Because your campus is amazing. It is so cool. It is so easy because you stop, you park in one place, and then you can just go see all of this cool stuff pretty much in just one go-round.
That's exactly right. So it is, the museums are situated around a central green, and that is where our Dr. Seuss National Memorial Sculpture Garden is. You walk into a centralized welcome center, you purchase a ticket for the day, and that gets you into all of the museums. So the Science Museum, the George Walter Vincent Smith, the Museum of Fine Arts, and soon to be opening our new Dr. Seuss Museum next year are all situated around the screen. And we have a new history museum, which features Indian motorcycles, antique cars, Rolls Royces, Duryea, and a wonderful collection of Smith & Wesson firearms that's just a few short steps away.
So let us talk about the two art museums and talk a little bit about what is going on there and begin with the American Impressionism exhibit, and that is up through October
25th.
October 25th.
Yep.
So we have time.
We do have time, and we're actually having a lecture on October 25th to close the show. So that will be a wonderful opportunity for people to learn more about it. But this is a great show. It comes to us from Reading, Pennsylvania. It's over 100 Impressionist works. And what makes the exhibition so unique is that it talks about Impressionism in terms of the art colonies that many artists travel to in the summer to vacation, to gain inspiration from each other, and to teach. And so the show is divided into these art colonies, and when you're going through it, you can see the different influences that artists had on each other. So there's a lot of comparison that you can make between the paintings. So they're not only beautiful portraits, landscapes, still lifes, but there's a lot that you can learn about how artists look at each other's work and then incorporate it into their own.
So talk a little bit about those arts, the artist colonies, and where geographically they are and how they form.
Well, there was many of them, but the ones that this show really addresses are the ones in Massachusetts, like Provincetown, in Connecticut, and also going as far west as Taos, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they were often formed by, again, people going to these areas for inspiration. They had their studios in the city. This was a way of escaping the city and going someplace where they could be in nature. But there were also people who hosted these artists, and they became really just large art colonies that still exist today.
Timestamp, roughly. What years are we looking at?
Probably 1890 to 1920.
And so the artists, the highlights, the big names that we have coming out of this?
Yeah, so we have William Merritt Chase, we have John Singer Sargent, we have a number of artists, Child Hassam, number of Child Hassams, and then we are supplementing it with our own collection. We also have John Singer Sargent, William Merritt Chase, an artist by the name of J.J. Enneking, Child Hassams from our collection, as well as works on paper from the Provincetown Art Colony, some just gorgeous works from our collection by artists such as Blanche Lazelle. So a really rich offering for people to explore this time in art history.
What do you think that we learn? Because you learn something obviously about the individual artist, but you also learn about the power of that art colony movement and what people learn from each other.
That's right, exactly. And so that was what I think was the most fascinating, is to, when you're walking through the show, to see the similarities that happen, even a couple of years between these paintings, where you can see that the artist has taken aspects of his or her teacher's work and then incorporated into their own. But just generally, it's just a beautiful show, and it's well worth going to.
And only one exhibit that's going on at the museum.
Well, yes, that's our major show at the Museum of Fine Arts. We also have, as I said, these smaller shows of the works on paper, and we have a very focused show on Winslow Homer. We have a famous watercolor called The New Novel. It shows a girl reclining, reading a book. We don't exhibit it very often because it is a watercolor and therefore light sensitive.
Right.
So this is an opportunity to see that. And we also have a rotating exhibition of Currier Knives. We have one of the largest collections of Currier Knives lithographs in the country, over 1,000 works. So we rotate those as well. And our permanent collection is always on view. And we have 5 galleries devoted to American art. And then galleries on our second floor devoted to French and Dutch and Flemish and Italian art. So artists like Claude Monet, Chardin, a number, again, of opportunities to see these things very up close and personal. And then at our George Walter Vincent Smith, we just opened an exhibition called Cabinets of Curiosity that features a number of works that came from storage that are interesting or unique or unusual, and they are reconfigured in a new way so that people can, again, explore different connections between these artworks. And so that's a really fun show. It just opened about 2 weeks ago.
So what does that mean? So I find that fascinating. So it is, what do you mean by what you just said?
Okay. So Cabinets of Curiosity is, the exhibition is built on the premise of these activities that happened almost, for quite a few hundreds of years, but especially during the Renaissance, when members of royalty and the aristocracy would collect objects that were unique, unusual, both objects from nature as well as scientific objects as well as beautiful objects and create these displays of the objects and then invite people to come and look at them and to talk about them in terms of research and what they show about the majesty of the world. So we are doing the same thing. We've borrowed some objects from our science museum, some wonderful mineral specimens, some mounted animals from the 19th century. And because the Cabinets of Curiosity became, again, in the Victorian time, something that was actively pursued by a number of different collectors, including in some ways George Walter Vincent Smith, who was purchasing objects from around the world to show the beauty of creativity, but also to introduce people to all of these types of art objects that they had never seen before.
And he would collect not only beautiful art, but he would collect strange, peculiar things.
Well, he did. He actually, we have a very strong collection of Middle Eastern carpets. And one of the things that he did when he was collecting was he would go to the dealers and say, leave the carpets as is. I don't want you to take off any fringe or any straps. I want to see how they were used. And this was very atypical, because most collectors only collected the central part of a carpet or the plush of the carpet and wanted all of the fringe and things removed. We also have a number of objects at the Smith from the International Expositions, and these are quite just fantastic in terms of their technical ability to create objects and the beauty that they show.
And you touched on this, but there was sort of a contest kind of mentality here of I want to collect cooler things than you do.
Yep, absolutely. And people's reputations were built on that. And again, that's something that's happened for, you know, the last 500 years. I think it still happens today a bit, but it went all the way back to classical times.
So in the way that these have been arranged in these cabinets, if you will, has that been on you and the curators, or was it with sort of what he had in mind originally of how they were shown?
Nope. It actually is a contemporary interpretation. So we created this or curated this show in-house, and it was the curator of the museums and our curatorial assistant who really took the lead.
When you think of that, of looking at these objects, can you get a sense of, okay, he was collecting this, and then draw a direct line to the art that is on the walls?
Yes. Well, the George Walter Vincent Smith collection is primarily a decorative arts collection. So he collected Japanese, Chinese decorative arts, Middle Eastern rugs, and he was a great supporter of contemporary American painters. So the Cabinets of Curiosity contains all of that, but it also contains sort of his personal objects himself. So letters from him, proclamations, photos of him, and trying to put him in context as the collector, but also very much a person of his time period and reacting to his time period.
You mentioned a moment ago that the forthcoming Dr. Seuss Museum, how did that come to be, and how is that going to take part?
Yes, so Theodore Geisel, known as Dr. Seuss, grew up in Springfield.
Right.
And many of the illustrations that you see in his books can be based on things he saw in Springfield. So he traveled to Springfield. We actually spoke to he and his wife, Audrey, and he passed away, but we were very excited about really celebrating him and his early life in Springfield. So we have a number of sculptures on our green right now that are Seussian related. And of course, everyone who comes always expressed a great interest in having a Dr. Seuss Museum. So we're very pleased to say that will open next year. It will be two floors. The first floor will be an interactive space devoted to just the fun of learning to read and reading and his books. And then the second floor will be much more about his early life in Springfield and showing photographs and illustrations. His family has been extremely supportive, and we're actually, we just received a large shipment of objects from his family to be included on that second floor.
Wow. So that's
Very exciting.
With certainly, is there any other museum dedicated to Seuss?
There is not. So this will be the only one in the world.
Well, with the family's blessing.
Yes, with the family's blessing. Exactly.
And I assume the publisher as well.
And yes, Dr. Seuss Enterprises. We have been working very closely with them as well. So it's just very exciting.
Well, Heather Haskell is the director of the Springfield Art Museums and Collections. And both last summer and the summer before that, I took the carload of my nieces and nephews.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
We all went and just spent just hours at these museums.
Great.
And I can't tell you how much fun it is. And if people haven't experienced them, they really should. And especially now with the beautiful exhibits taking place at, all of these museums, but especially the DeMora Museum of Fine Arts. You can find out about all of the museums by going to springfieldmuseums.org, springfieldmuseums.org, and make your plans. Heather Haskell, thank you very much for making the trip out. I appreciate it, and thank you for the great work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
And wonderful to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We post all of our segments online, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.